Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so our topic is Practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? And we've been talking about the hindrances to our purpose, which is dependence on God. And just a quick wrap up, last week we were talking about how the enemy, the devil, and his buddies hinder our purpose now. And we concluded that the only way that the enemy can hinder our purpose is in one of two ways. The first is if he is a distraction in our lives and we spend an inordinate amount of time, energy, and effort battling him rather than just taking authority over him. Or he can interfere with our purpose, hinder our purpose of dependence by when we ignore him, when we discount his activity in our lives. Because what this does is this allows him to make himself at home in our lives and interfere with our lives with impunity. So either way, by drawing too much attention or not enough, he can interfere with our lives. But both of those are easily dealt with by depending on God to allow to receive the healing and the change that is necessary to keep us from being vulnerable. For instance, say the enemy, the devil, has a legal right to be in your life. There's an unhealed wound based on a lie, believing a lie. Say you believe that you're unlovable. And because that's a lie, that becomes a wound, and that's an area where you are vulnerable to the enemy. Rather than trying to overcome the enemy, simply receiving God's truth that God has made you lovable and that you are loved heals the wound and you are no longer vulnerable. Then the devil doesn't have any legal right to be bugging you in that area. You're no longer vulnerable. So all then we have to do is get rid of him. Of course, he very often just goes on his own because you're not vulnerable anymore. But he can trick us. So then it's just a matter of going through the steps of, you know, like just as you clean out your closet and you find something you've forgotten in there and it's all dirty and smelly and you take it out and you wash it or you get rid of it. You clean house. Then it's just fairly straightforward to get rid of the enemy when he doesn't have a legal right in their lives. So dealing with him is fairly straightforward. And as we do that, that's another area then where we enter into rest, where we are available to God because we're no longer vulnerable there. That wound has been healed. We're believing God's truth in that area. we are then free to receive the life, his eternal life, from our spirit into our soul. Because remember again, your spirit is fully joined to God's spirit. So what's in him, you've already received in your spirit. Our goal, our problem is that barrier between our soul and our spirit. So really, our outward efforts are still to reveal the hindrances. So we want to make sure we're spending enough time dealing with those hindrances, being available to God to reveal to us the area where, any area where we are, still have a hindrance. When we get on his track, when we are working on the same things he's working on, he achieves in short order things that we thought we'd never be able to overcome, or things that we've been struggling with for years and sometimes our whole life. We unfortunately accept them as part of our struggle or as part of our responsibility, rather than following the process to the root, receiving healing in that one specific area, receiving his truth. This goes back to one thing we've been talking about so often here on Practical Christianity Series, how so many of our beliefs we've inherited. We've never come to any conclusion on our own. We've never tested a lot of what we believe. Also, a lot of what we believe is because of our own temperament. It suits us. And when some of our beliefs are challenged, we get pretty violent about protecting them. Because often when some of our beliefs, or even just one of our beliefs, is challenged, if we have developed our worldview, our view of ourselves or of God or of others, around a lie, when that lie is touched, when that lie is revealed to be a lie, if we internally know that if we let go of that lie and are healed in that area, our whole life will have to change. And your soul wants to control that. That's called the flesh, the self-life. Your soul wants to maintain the lie. So goes back to having that desire to spend time with God and allow him, Lord, any area where I'm not believing the truth, real truth, not just what I've been taught, not what other people say truth, but reality, Lord, any area where I'm not believing your truth, I'm willing to let go. And when we are objective about what we believe, the Lord is working in you whether you are aware of it or not. So even if you aren't saying that, he's arranging circumstances in your life to show you where you're not relying on him, to show you those belief systems that need to be changed. But what's so wonderful and personal about God is he doesn't just tear down. And his truth is easily recognizable. His truth sets us free and makes us free. His truth gives life. And going back to our previous example of our wound being, I'm unlovable. That's a lie. But unless God reveals that's what your belief system is based on, that I'm unlovable, and say we build up the rest of our belief system around that, if we don't see that that's the root, we may go into, spend our whole lives thinking, I need to do something to balance that out. I need to do something to enable God to love me, to enable others to love me. I must bridge the gap. So we may feel compelled to be involved in ministry in order to be in the right place at the right time so we can be blessed of God or loved of Him. Or we must never question others' activities when they even show any the least bit love towards us. Because since we feel we're not lovable, we can't let anyone too close, because then they'll see that we're not lovable. But once God makes it real to us that we are lovable, He has made us lovable, and that by our new nature, we are not only lovable, but we are loved. Look, we may have to change all these other decisions we've made that have been based on a lie. In our relationships, we may start questioning the behavior of those around us, how we're being treated. When you know you are loved, and for instance, if you've been in an abusive situation, you are then going to start, wait a minute, I am a lovable person, and I am a loved person. This is not the way to treat a loved person. This behavior from the person that I thought loved me is not love. Lord, what do I do about this? And then when we start looking at how we have been holding God at arm's length, because we don't really want Him to see that we're unlovable. But when He says, no, you're lovable and I love you, then we can put down our defenses and we can receive unconditionally what He gives, His life, unconditionally. And we realize so much of the things we've been doing, so many of the activities we've been doing, much of our time and effort has been spent in trying to get from God what He has already given. It's like working your whole life to pay the bills, only to find a checkbook in your desk to a checking account that has a bazillion dollars in it. That all your life you've been working and scrimping and saving and maybe getting by, maybe not, maybe having to go through a lot of loss, not knowing that in your bank account you had billions and billions and billions of dollars, and all you had to do was write a check. All you had to do was spend it. It was yours. It was in your name. What do you do when you find that out? You change your lifestyle. You change the decisions you make. You start thinking different about yourself. Now, this is one of the reasons that so many people who win the lottery are bankrupt within a few years. It ruins their life because they don't know how to handle that free gift. They've always had to work for what they've received and have most likely mismanaged what they've received as well. So this is why, this is where we're at. You and I, from God, have a blank check. And that check is on a bank account and a life account, a power account, a knowledge account, a wisdom, an absolute control over the natural realm. All these things are in our account. And we can draw on that account. But God, in His wisdom, gives us time to learn how to spend those resources, how to steward and govern and manage the resources that are already in our name. So that's why He doesn't come in and heal us of our wounds all at once, reveal all His truth at once. That's one of the reasons. The second is so that we wouldn't appreciate His truth if He did it all at once. So by going through the process, we experience His truth. We receive healing. And we say thanks. We say, thank you, Lord. And we don't go to the next step. We don't say, now it's up to me to do something with this. No. It's, thank you, Lord. And that's it. There's no strings attached to what He gives us. There's no strings attached to those resources. God's army is available to you. His resources, His control over time, past, present, and future, is available to you. But He doesn't just, here are the keys to the treasure, go and do what you want with it. Now, it's limitless, so it's not that you'd be able to ever spend it all. It's that it wouldn't be good for you. You'd be distracted by that one area. But He does not want you to be ignorant of what your resources are. So He teaches us and trains us by the circumstances in our life and says, this is your project. And by working on that project, we learn how to tap into the resources that are available to us. Our safety net, our reliable boundaries are always going to be, Lord, is this you? What do I do here? How do you want me to respond to this? What's going on here, Lord? What should I learn here? Always just turning to Him and asking Him. He has already revealed all these things to you in your spirit. So you can now just rest and relax and enjoy the ride. Just a matter of learning. It takes effort. But compared to the response, which is life, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, all those things that we are often putting off till the sweet by and by or after we die. God doesn't put any of those things off. And the kingdom doesn't need to be created. It's done. We enter the kingdom. We don't make it. We don't expand it. We enter, and we entered 2,000 years ago. So you've made it. You're in. You've been given every key to every door. But the doors are still locked. So the Lord brings you to that great hall of doors, and you ask him, Lord, what door shall we go to next? And he says, this one over here. And you unlock it, and you learn and you discover what's behind that door. Because he gives you projects that will teach you how to use the resources, whether those resources are weapons against the enemy, new creative ideas, literal wealth or resources, whatever it is, the gift of mercy, the gift of healing, whatever it is, we learn how to work with what's inside that room. Now, sometimes, and very often, the Lord will have multiple rooms open at the same time. And there are rooms that you are working in that you don't even know about. Because now, in your spirit, there are no locked doors. All the doors are open. So in your spirit, all things are available and are being used. So it's only in our soul that we are learning by the Lord's assigning of projects. This is what this is. This is what it does. This is how it works. You know, you go into some people's garage and they have this, you know, wall of tools, power tools, and maybe woodworking tools and garden tools. And they're all clean and shiny. And if you look close, some of them may be brand new. And others may be well worn, but still clean and looking like new. And you know this person. You can tell what they've worked on. Say, none of the gardening tools look used, but the woodworking tools are worn, and you can see the hand prints and the sweat prints and the nicks in the edges of the tools. This is what that person has been spending most of his time on. But he still has the gardening tools in there, doesn't he? But that's not where he spends most of his time. So you've got all your tools that you will ever need are available to you now. So that's not something that we have to talk God into releasing to us. But we don't get to choose or force God. God, I really want to be able to do this, that, or the other thing. He may say, no, that's for some other time. Let's say we want to have control over our futures. We want to look into the future, into our future. And he says, no, that's for another time. I want to deal with you about this. I want to teach you how to forgive yourself. And this is where our soul will rise up and say, no, I want to do what I want to do. That doesn't sound very exciting. Or that's not what's going on at church. Or that's of the devil. Or that's going to hurt. I don't want to go there. And that's where we have to go. We have to recognize that when God says, this is the door I want you to open, and I want you to learn what's inside, learn how to use it, be a good steward of it, master it. when we don't do that, most of the time, you're not going to go to the next door until you're satisfied. God is satisfied with what you've learned in that door, in that room. So that's why it's so important that we are available to Him to change our mind, to be healed, to believe the truth, His truth, from Him. When He speaks the truth, it changes you. It frees you. And then we join Him in making the other changes, like dominoes. Those behaviors very often have to change. Our other beliefs have to change. When you find out, oh, wait a minute, this is this doctrine that I've always believed, that's not true. You know, our concept of heaven. You mean the whole goal is not to die and go to heaven? There's stuff that's all, everything about heaven is available now. How does that change how we view evangelism? How we view our friends and unloved, unsaved friends and family? How we view ourselves? How we view God? So we allow Him to make the changes He wants. And in the midst of this, we've been talking about how the world system hinders our purpose now. The things we believe about how this world works. It has a life of its own. This world has a life of its own. Peer pressure, time, death, decay, success, busyness, our individual circumstances, the whole concept of status and class, our physical needs, the social structure we live in, and over or under commitment. There is a power in the world system that comes from that curse so long ago. That curse has not been overturned yet. We get to do that. And so there is a wisdom to surviving in this world. The children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom when it comes to the world system. The children of this world know that all they have is what they can get. It's gimme, gimme, gimme. The one who dies with the most wins. But this is not true for you and me. We are challenged to be not conformed to the demands of this world, to the world system. Instead, to be different, separate from those who have no other hope. The children of this world are without resources. You and I have all resources. So we are learning to resist that peer pressure, our belief pressure, the pull to maintain the status quo that is so prevalent in this present age. It's you got to get along. You can't offend anyone. You can't question your beliefs or anyone else's beliefs. How easy is it to settle for less? But God will not allow you to do that. He saved you for more. He's redeemed you for more. And He's given you everything. And is merely here on this earth, your job is to learn how to steward who you already are. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again 7:30 tomorrow morning for Getting Healed. Until then, have a great day and have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.